that you're ready and you're hungry for it. Praise God. It is our help. It is what feeds our spirit, the Bible says. Jesus said over there in Matthew 4:4, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. You know, Jesus said over there in John chapter 6, I believe it's right around the 61st to 63rd verse there. He said, my words are spirit and my words are life. You know, so many people, you know, we're hungry for the Holy Ghost. Well, if you're going to be hungry for the Holy Spirit, you will first be hungry for the Word of God. They're not separate. Amen. The Word is spirit. We know this, that the Word of God is authored by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we're ready to receive it here today. Are you ready? Yes. Amen. Well, real quickly, again, we just want to welcome those that are visiting Family Church here today. My name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. And we're just so glad to have new faces here all the time. Aren't we, church? Yes. Amen. And church, whose job is it to make sure that our visiting guests feel warm and welcome? That's our job, folks. Let's not just say that. Let's not just clap as a token, you know, but let's really mean it. And so before service and after service, find someone you don't know. Get their name. Look for them next week, right? Go up, you know. Make sure that, you know, we're ministering to one another, that we love and care about the faces that are in our seats. This is not just about attendance. It's not just about filling the chairs. It's about being one church family. Amen. Let's go ahead. Let's welcome those that are visiting here today. We love you. We appreciate you. It means so much that you can be here. Turn with me in your Bibles. Go over. Oh, yes. Okay. Go to Genesis chapter 14. Hold your place there because we're coming to it. And now go over with me, totally off script now. Is that all right? Right from the top of the service. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Go to Galatians chapter 3 because the Spirit of God said something to me while we were praising and worshiping in that second song there just a moment ago. You know, as I was sitting there and just praising and worshiping, all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me and just urged me and encouraged me to remind you, to remind God that you are the seed of Abraham. Do you know that what God does for us even now, 4,000 years after Abraham's life, he's doing for us because he's faithful to Abraham? God promised in his word never to forget Abraham, to never forget the seed of Abraham, to never forget that the blessing of Abraham is upon us. And the Spirit of God started telling me, you know, and speaking to me regarding this, that the people, that believers in these last days are going to need to remind their Heavenly Father over and over their connection to Abraham. Because that's who God is being faithful to. We have to know and understand God is still performing his faithfulness at the promise of Abraham thousands of years later. See, to us, you know, modern day science would say, well, that's ancient history. But to God, it is not ancient at all. To God, that's less than 4 days ago, all right? The Bible says, for with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. And so for God, there's no time. He's eternal. And so his faithfulness to Abraham is just as new, just as fresh, just as important now that it has ever been. But if we don't know and understand our connection to that covenant, we're not going to receive from it. Go with me to Galatians chapter 3. Today I'm going to call this message the covenant blessing. The covenant blessing. It matters who we're connected to. It matters who we know, that how God has established things. Go to Galatians chapter 3 and go to verse 13. This is a familiar verse for us. It tells us that Christ has redeemed us. This is Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ has redeemed us. Do you believe that you're redeemed here today? Yes. What did he redeem us from? It says he's redeemed us from the curse of the law. All right, now the curse of the law is found over there in the book of Deuteronomy. And basically the curse of the law were all the penalties for not following the Old Testament perfectly. Is there anybody in here that has ever been able to follow all the commandments of God perfectly? Anybody? Do we need to throw any stones at anyone today? All right. good. I'm glad we don't have to do that, because it was obvious that there's no way that we would ever be able to be faithful completely to the Old Testament law. And so all those penalties, which, you know, include the curses of sin, it includes the curses of sickness and disease, it includes the curses of poverty and lack, it includes the curses of emotional fear and distress, all right? We are redeemed from the curses of the law. And if you want to know what you're redeemed from, go read the second half of Deuteronomy chapter 28. And you'll be able to say with definitive truth that you are redeemed from every one of those curses. And you can read about them and say, oh, I'm redeemed from that. I'm redeemed from that. But a lot of Christians, they don't know what they're redeemed from. They just think that Jesus came just to send them to heaven someday. Listen, heaven is a byproduct of knowing God. Heaven is not the grand purpose of why Jesus came. Do you know that? Heaven is just where you go when you love God. All right, do you understand? That's just your future dwelling place. That's eternal, but it's not the main purpose of why Christ came. He came to redeem us from the curse of the law, and that redemption is for right now on this earth, because that's where the curse of the law happens. There is no curse of the law in heaven. All right, you understand that. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, and it says, being made a curse for us. On that cross, Jesus became the curse that was upon you and I. He became that curse. All right, it isn't just what he carried for us, it's what he became. He was made to be that curse. Now it is written, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's a reference to the cross. So on that cross, Jesus became the curse that would try to destroy our lives. But notice there is a colon there at the end of the verse. That means it's not done. Verse 14, why did Jesus redeem us from the curse? That the what? Blessing of Abraham would come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so now the blessing that God put upon Abraham was reserved for you and I when that curse was taken for us at the cross. And then when you called upon Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the blessing of who? Abraham was then placed upon you. That is how God sees you. God looks upon each of us through the filter of the blessing of Abraham. He sees us as a responsibility to stay faithful to a promise that he made thousands of years ago. He has to do it as long as the conditions of the covenant are met. And this is where Christians fail. We fail to meet the conditions of the covenant. We don't know it. We don't understand it. We don't practice it. And, you know, church has become a very traditional thing. It has become, you know, something where our church lives are just based on a Sunday morning tradition or a holiday tradition or a family tradition. But really, we're supposed to be here operating and knowing the covenant blessing that God has put upon us, right? And so that's why the Spirit of God is telling me over there just a few minutes ago, make sure the people know and understand in these last days, they're going to need to remind their Heavenly Father to be faithful to the promises of Abraham. So when we stand before God, we say, Father, remember your promise to Abraham. That is where healing comes from in your life. That is where provision comes from in your life. God does not bless randomly outside of the covenant of Abraham. A lot of Christians, they just say, well, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I'm a good, nice person. You can be a Christian who goes to church every Sunday, who's a good and nice person, who never hurts anybody, and completely fail to receive from the blessing of Abraham because you don't see yourself as connected to Abraham. You don't know the blessing. And in these end days, I'm telling you, this is the answer to those financial tests, to the financial crisis, to the trials and tribulations that are going on in our society, or maybe the trials and tribulations that are just going on in your life personally. This is your answer. Amen. Father, be faithful to the promises that you made to Abraham. Why? Go down to Galatians chapter 3 in verse 29. You're right there in that chapter. And I got to remind you, because the Spirit of God's telling me today to remind you of this. In verse 29 says, and if you be Christ's, see, this is what it means to be a Christian. This is how God sees Christians. And if you be Christ, then you are what? Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Jesus came to this earth to raise up the church who should have a heart like Abraham had, right? To do what Abraham did, to have the kind of a sincerity with God that Abraham had, and to believe and receive the blessing and the promises that God made to Abraham. Amen. You know, it just looks like this. When I go before God, Father, you're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Father, remember Abraham, your faithful servant. Yes. I am his seed. Father, you have made great and precious promises within this covenant. Therefore, I am redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm redeemed from the curse of sin. I'm redeemed from the curse of sickness and disease. I'm redeemed from the curse of fear and anxiety. I am redeemed from poverty and lack. I am the redeemed of the Lord because I'm in the covenant blessing of Abraham. Now, Jesus is our Lord and Savior, but the Bible says Abraham is the father or the example of our faith. Amen. And so I had to start there this morning. That wasn't my message. But the Spirit of God is over there telling me, in these last days, tell my people to remind me of their connection and covenant with Abraham. So to some Christians, that means nothing to them. They don't know what it means to be Abraham's seed. They don't think in terms of covenant with God. But if you are going to know God, if you're going to receive from God, you have to understand covenant. It is how he works. And today we're going to talk about the covenant blessing. All right. Now, when I say the covenant blessing, we know that blessing is only going to work if we operate within the covenant. And today we're going to look at not just the purpose of this message is not to just to tell you all the things that God wants to do for you. The purpose of this message is for you to understand how covenant blessing works. We are going to take a look at the anatomy of the blessing, right? How it works. Remember your 10th grade biology class? Remember they made you dissect that frog so you could find out all those little organs in there work? All right, well, now you're going to find out how the blessing works. And we need to ask ourselves, are we working it? Are we doing our part? Go with me to Genesis 14. Let's talk about the covenant blessing. Now, here's a little warning for you. And for our visitors, you picked a great day to be here. Glory to God. I am going to be talking today a lot about tithing. Tithing. Boy, did you hear the excitement? And for some reason over the last, you know, few months, I've been mentioning, you know, tithing here and there. I haven't preached an entire sermon on it. This sermon will almost exclusively focus on that instruction in the Word of God. However, you know, just know this, that when I preach on tithing, what you hear and what I'm saying can sometimes be different things. That when people hear tithing, they hear the words money, money, money in their ear. But when the pastor is really trying to say your heart, your heart, your heart. I am not here to preach about dollars and cents. I am here to draw your heart closer to the heart of God. Amen? And I'm not preaching this message. I know some, you know, may try to say, well, pastor's preaching this message because, you know, times are tight and the church must be having a hard time financially. Let me tell you, that is absolutely not the case. Nothing has changed for this church financially. I would never preach a message based on that. I preach it because that's what the Spirit of God would have me to preach. Amen. Go to Genesis chapter 14, and we're going to start in verse 13. Now, when you hear about tithing, see, a lot of Christians, they'll think, that's the pastor telling me to follow this rule, that I got to sit down and write out the first 10% of my income and bring it to church. That's the rule. I have to do it. Well, if that's your understanding, that might be the mechanics of tithing. That might be the letter of the law, but that is not the spirit of the law. Remember, in the New Testament, we do not live by the letter of the law. We live by the spirit of the law. And you're going to see how the blessing, when I say blessing, I'm not talking about just financial blessing. I'm talking about knowing God. Let's get into this. Go to Genesis chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 13. Let me kind of just set up the story for you. Now, let me tell you what's going on here in Genesis 14. God had already approached Abraham. Now, you're going to see in this passage that Abram was not yet given the name Abraham, but they are the same person, okay? And I will just for the purpose of understanding, I'm going to use the name Abraham instead of Abram. Just so you know and understand, it's the same guy, all right? In Genesis chapter 12, the Lord approached Abraham and gave him some instructions and said, Abraham, if you will be faithful, all families of this earth will be blessed because of your actions. Do you think there's anyone here today who's blessed because of what Abraham did? Absolutely. Here we are. And see, God is still performing his oath that he made to Abraham all those years ago. But there came a time when Abraham and his family went through a pretty hardcore trial. They literally were invaded. Now, Abraham and his family were very wealthy. They had lots of stuff, lots of wealth, lots of servants, I mean, lots of cattle. I mean, they had a huge, you could call it like a plantation if you want to call it that. It was a huge, huge piece of property, huge amounts of people, and they were invaded by the neighboring kings, or what we might call governors of that region. And they literally kidnapped Abraham's nephew and his family and his goods and his belongings and all that stuff. Well, Abraham wasn't going to have any of that. So Abraham, took and he armed his servants and he formed his own personal army of 318 men. You know you're doing pretty well in life when you've got 318 guys that you're feeding and paying, right? And you can just arm them and make your own personal army. Kind of sounds good, doesn't it? Anyway, woo, praise the Lord. And so Abraham then takes these 318 men, and they go and they get their stuff back. They go and they rescue Lot, Abraham's nephew. They rescue his family. They rescue the servants. They rescue the women and children that were taken by these kings. And not only did Abraham get all of his stuff back, but he happened to win all the spoils from all those other kings. And so he just came into really big money, all right? And so let's read it. Now, this is how Abraham learns of the kidnapping and so on. And it says, and there came one that had escaped from these kings, and told Abraham the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, the brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abraham. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, Abraham armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. These were all young men that had been born there. I mean, Abraham had his own maternity ward. All right. Kind of ironic, consider he couldn't have children until God showed up and gave him a child all those years later, right? And so we see that. And now it says this, in verse 14, it says he pursued them with these 318 men, all the way to a different region. And it says, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, meaning they divided into groups. And it said, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and all the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet Abraham after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer. And it says, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheva, which is the king's dale. Now, verse 18 is what I'm trying to get to. So Abraham now is coming back. He's got all of his stuff back, all of his people back, and he just won all the spoils that belong to those governors that attacked him. See, you attack a man or woman of God, you're going to lose something. It wasn't worth it for them to attack that man of God. All right, now look at verse 18. So Abraham's coming back. He's returning to the plain of Mamre, and he's going to go through or by the city that we now know as Jerusalem. Sound familiar? And then he's coming up, and all of a sudden, this first-time mentioned individual, right here in Genesis 14, 18, this mysterious priest named Melchizedek shows up. Now look what it says in verse 18 about Melchizedek. It says, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, or what we now know is Jerusalem, which means the city of peace, which is interesting because it very seldom is that, right? Of course, it's going to be in the millennial kingdom. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and Melchizedek was the priest of the Most High God. So Melchizedek is this strange, mysterious figure in the Bible. The Bible just tells us that we know nothing of his past. We know nothing of his father or mother. We just know that he was a priest to our God before the priesthood ever even existed. Remember where the priesthood started? The priesthood started with who? Aaron, right? Moses' brother. So that's way later, but Melchizedek is this strange figure. A lot of scholars believe that Melchizedek is actually Jesus Christ himself. I'm not here to discuss that here today. I'm not here to get into a debate or anything like that, but the Bible does say that he is likened unto Christ. All right, he had neither father or mother that we know about, and he's all of a sudden, he's the king of the city, but he's also a great priest before God. And Abraham is coming back after this great victory, and he's got great provision, and the priest comes out with bread and wine. Does that sound familiar to any of us? It sounds like what? Communion. He comes out to break bread. Melchizedek knows Abraham is a man of the Most High God. He knows that God has approached him. He says, I want to be in fellowship with Abraham. And the breaking of bread and the drinking of wine was a symbol of covenant. Very good. You could say this is the first communion that the Bible ever records. Okay? And he comes on out there. And now look what happens. It says in verse 19, and he, Melchizedek, blessed Abraham. And Melchizedek said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And by the way, that term, possessor of heaven and earth, is a reference to God the Father, not Abraham himself. I could study it out. I could show you that for proof. It is not a reference to Abraham, just so you know that. Say, Pastor, why are you bringing that up? Because there's a lot of preachers that preach that. It's not true. Verse 20, it says this, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered you, Abraham, delivered your enemies into your hand. Now look at verse 20, the last sentence says, and he, Abraham, gave tithes over to the high priest of everything he had. And so at this point, this is the first record of tithing ever happening in the Bible. It's very significant. And today I'm going to give you three things of how you should operate in the covenant blessing. Now we're going to use tithing more as an example, but we're going to show you how blessing works. Amen. Here's what we got. Are you ready? I'm excited. I'm giddy at this stuff. I know it seems like I'm nerding out over here, but folks, be a student. Learn these things. Any pastor can just stand up there and give you three little points in a poem and send you along your way. But the Bible says that we are to be disciples. We are to be students of the Word of God. So now here's the first ever mention of tithing in the Bible. Now, if you study the Bible, you will understand that there is something in the Bible that we call the law of first mention. And what that means is that when the first time something shows up in the Bible, it sets the ground rules for the rest of the Bible, which is absolutely true. Here's the first thing that you need to know today. Are you ready? Notice this. Tithing was Abraham's idea, not God's. I'm going to say that again. Tithing was Abraham's idea, not God's. So for those that get mad at tithing, don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at God. Get mad at Abraham. It was his idea, not God's. How do we know that? There is no written record of a command that Abraham had to tithe. There was no written Bible at the time. There was no written law of God during the time that Abraham did this. So this was Abraham's idea, and he brought a tithe to the ministry of God, and clearly God liked it, God was pleased, and then God instituted it to honor Abraham for all time moving forward. We are not to tithe. Oh, come on. We don't tithe as a remembrance of ourselves, and we're going to talk about this, all right? Here's what we need to know. Tithing originated in the heart of a man who loved God. That is where tithing came from. That is where tithing is supposed to be right now. God was not looking for someone who would come up and follow a rule. Tithing originated in the heart of a man who wanted to express his appreciation for the covenant. Are you getting a hold of this? Abraham was coming to God. He met the priest. He had communion, and he tithed everything that he had, right, to show that he was connected to the covenant. Amen. Simply, Abraham meets the priest. Abraham gives him tithes of everything he just won in that battle. And so we see tithing originated in the heart of a man who loved God and wanted to demonstrate covenant and to prove his heart was connected to God. Abraham's idea. So we see this. God wants you and I to use our hearts to express covenant. Yes. What do we do in our lives to express our love for the covenant, our appreciation for the covenant? All right. Now, tithing is one such illustration. But notice this. God wants you to make decisions for him, something that you're going to do to connect your heart to the covenant that he didn't have to tell you to do. Yes. He didn't tell Abraham to tithe. Abraham decided all on his own. Yes. So many times God's people are waiting to only do that which God tells them to do, and they never make a decision out of their own heart to express their love for covenant. Let me give you some examples. How about serving in the local church? So many Christians, well, God didn't tell me to serve there. Well, God wasn't going to tell you to serve there because he was giving you an opportunity to express your own heart and your own appreciation for covenant. So, well, you know, the church will have a need and, you know, people will get approached and people will say, well, God didn't tell me to do that. If you've got to wait for a command from heaven to serve in your local church, or if you've got to try to find some scripture that commands you to do that, God is not looking for robots that are just waiting for the computation from heaven. Beep, boop, boop, beep. Okay, I'll do that. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. What about serving in your local church? What about giving to a brother or sister in Christ who's in great need? What about seeing somebody in your church family that needs prayer? What about picking up prayer assignments and say, oh, look at them. I love them. I'm going to pray for them every day. Does the Lord have to tell you to love somebody? Does the Lord have to tell you to pray for somebody or to give to somebody? Or how about being a giver in the body of Christ? Or whatever it is, you know? How about this? What about fasting a little TV and media? You know, listen, there's nothing wrong with some, you know, harmless entertainment. But I'm saying, what about those times you just feel like, you know what? I need to get closer to God. I'm going to take a week or I'm going to take a month or whatever you decide that it is. And I'm going to fast from TV and media and I'm going to spend extra time with God. Do we have to have a command from heaven to do that? No. What decisions can we make out of our own heart to show God, I love the covenant? That is where tithing came from. Oh, praise the Lord. Now remember, we are the seed of Abraham. And remember what Jesus told the Pharisees over there in the book of John? Was it John chapter 8? Don't quote me on that. But in that neighborhood, remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees? They said, well, we have Abraham as unto our father. Because remember, Jesus said, my father who's in heaven. And they said, well, we have Abraham as our father. And Jesus said, if you were the children of Abraham, you would have done what Abraham did. He said, you would do the works of Abraham. So if we're the seed of Abraham and we're not doing the works of Abraham, we're violating covenant. See, tithing is not a rule. It is a way that we connect our heart and we show and demonstrate our love for covenant. Amen. I love God. That's why I'm a tither. Oh, praise the Lord. Tithing was Abraham's way of saying thank you for what God had done for him. In that he had just come from that battle. And Abraham said, here's a tithe because my strength and my ability that I had to win that battle, it was not mine alone. My strength was from the Lord. Therefore, I tithe. The victory that I had, Abraham was saying, was not mine alone, but it was from the Lord. So tithing, you could say it this way, it's an expression of strength and victory. Yes. Amen. You know, that strength that you need to wake up for work tomorrow, guess where that's coming from? All the strength that it takes to have an income, guess where it comes from? Comes from him. The victory that you have, it comes from him. And there should be something within the heart of every true believer that says, I want to thank God. Yes. What do I do, O Lord, to show you how grateful I am to be in this covenant with you? Yes. He says, tithe. Yes. Tithe. Yeah. That's why God was so hurt when he looked at Israel. Pastor Brad shared Malachi chapter 3, you know, starting in verse 6. You can go back to Malachi chapter 1. Remember what he says to Israel in Malachi chapter 1? He says, if I'm a father, where's my honor? Yes. Oh, yeah. God wasn't mad at them for not tithing because it took money away from him.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? Let me say that again. God was not mad at Israel because it took money away from him. He was upset because his people did not want to honor him with the covenant like a father. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right. So tithing was Abraham's way of saying thank you for what God had done for him. Strength. Anything I'm able to do in this life is only because the Lord gives me strength to do it. I do not eat any meal. Anything good in my life, I have it because God is good to me. Amen. Any victory that I have in this life, it is of the Lord, and he gets the praise and glory. So I long to tithe to demonstrate my appreciation for covenant. Here's the second thing you need to know. Are you ready for this? Now, this is a little wordy. I will repeat it several times. I know we have a lot of note takers here today. Tithing is an act of believing what you are instead of being desperate for what you need. Let me say that again. Chew on that for a second. Tithing is an act of believing what you are instead of being desperate for what you need. Let me say that again. Tithing is an act, or you could say it this, it's an act of faith in what God says you are instead of an act of being desperate for your needs. I'm going to show you this. Go back to Genesis chapter, you're over there in 14. You can go back to verse 19, or you can leave it in verse 20. That's fine. When Abraham showed up and met Melchizedek, when the first tithe was ever given, was Abraham in need? He wasn't in need. He was overwhelmed with spoils. He didn't give. Tithing is not what we do desperately to get God to meet our needs. Tithing is not what we do to get God's blessing going for us. Let me show you this. Now go back up to verse 19. You're in Genesis 14, 19. Let me show you something. Abraham just won the spoils. He meets Melchizedek, and Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Everyone say blessed.
Blessed.
Now notice, I'll tell you what, when Melchizedek pronounced blessing on Abraham, was Abraham blessed?
Yes.
Absolutely. And notice this, the blessing was already on Abraham when he was a tither. Right. Meaning the tithe came after the blessing. Notice Abraham didn't tithe and then get the blessing. He already had it. Let me ask you here today. If the blessing of Melchizedek blessed Abraham, how much more blessed are you and I through the blood of Jesus Christ? Do you think Abraham believed at that moment that he was blessed? Sure he did. The king of Salem, the priest of the Most High God, just comes out. And maybe he puts his hand on Abraham, maybe he doesn't, but he speaks these words and said, Abraham, you are blessed. Now, stay with me for just a moment. That blessing was not an exchange of goods or money. All right? Actually, Melchizedek just received all those, that tithe of the spoils, right? So Melchizedek didn't say, oh, by the way, Abraham, you're blessed now because you're a tither. Here's $1 million. No, the word blessing there, it means the Lord's approval. The Lord's approval. Abraham shows up before he ever gives a tithe. And Melchizedek says, you are blessed. God approves of you.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, come on now. Yeah. His approval came before he tithed. Tithing did not get God's approval for Abraham. He was already approved, so therefore he tithed. Do you see what I'm saying? He was already blessed, therefore he tithed. Tithing is an act of believing you're blessed.
Amen.
Look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered your enemies into your hands. And then Abraham gave tithes of all. So notice there was two things that Melchizedek said to Abraham. He said, Abraham, you have the blessing and approval of God upon you. And now I'm here to pronounce deliverance from your enemies upon you. And so Abraham heard that and said, I believe I'm blessed. I believe I'm delivered from my enemies. Therefore, I tithe. Do you see the difference? Because most Christians today, they're tithing to get the blessing. Let me ask you again, are you blessed in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you have nothing to your name, if you have spent your last dollar, but you are born again in the blood of Jesus Christ, are you still blessed? Yes. Blessing is not found in the money you have or don't have. It is found in what God says you are. God was giving us a way to declare what we are in his covenant of Abraham. Can you bring up Galatians 3:7 for me? Are you blessed? Don't look so excited about it. You're going to need to know this. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Is that you? Do we have anyone that's of faith here today? Go to verse 9. Drop down to Galatians 3:9. So then they which be of faith are what? Blessed. When Jesus Christ became your Lord and Savior, it was as big and greater than Melchizedek walking up to Abraham and said, you have the approval of Almighty God. The blessing is yours. You could not earn it. You could not pay for it. It is yours. And when Jesus became your Lord and Savior, he says, I have delivered you from the power of darkness and over all the power of the enemy and have translated you into the kingdom of his dear son. Right? Right? Colossians 1, 13, 12 and 13. So we are blessed and delivered. If you believe it, what should you do? Somebody say it. Tithe. Let's rewind and go back over this again. When Melchizedek approached Abraham, he said, Abraham, the blessing of God is on you, it's yours. The deliverance of God Almighty from your enemies is yours. And Abraham said, therefore, since I'm blessed and delivered, I want God to have the first 10% of everything that I've won, everything of my increase, because I believe I'm blessed and I'm delivered. When Jesus Christ became your Lord and Savior, it was just like Melchizedek walking up to Abraham and said, I'm declaring you are blessed and you are delivered from your enemy. If we believe it, we would do the works of Abraham. God was looking for a man, and women included, whose hearts are perfect towards him, who don't have money as a barrier between them and God. Amen? Can you bring up 2 Chronicles 16:9? I wasn't planning on going there, but that verse is just kind of playing on the inside. Go to 2 Chronicles 16:9. You can just bring it up. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Amen. How can our hearts be perfect towards God if we don't do that which is least with natural money? Can you bring up Luke 16:10? Boy, I wasn't planning on going here either. I'm blessed. How about you? Yes. Well, Pastor, I'm not blessed. I can't afford to tithe. You better be careful about that. You better be careful about that. We'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. Jesus speaking, he says, he that is faithful in that which is least, everyone say least, is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Verse 11, look what Jesus says. Jesus says, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, which is, who will commit to your trust true riches? I want to show you here the tithe is about loyalty. Tithing is about trust. Not that we need to learn how to trust God as much as he needs to learn to trust us. Amen. Are you getting something out of this here today? Praise the Lord. So tithing is an act of faith that says, I'm the blessed of the Lord. My enemies are under my feet. I have nothing good on my own. I am in covenant with the God whom I love. Amen. God is looking for people on this earth who don't serve money, but that will serve him first. Sounds a lot like Matthew 6:24. Can you bring that up? Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6:24? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon or money. Now, I always say this when I read this verse because I can't help it. The teacher in me won't let me go past this. The word mammon in the original Greek is capitalized because it was the name of a pagan god of greed. All right? And so literally, God is saying to us that money is competing against God's voice in our life. Money is a competition to steal the covenant blessing. Amen. This is how blessing works, folks. The blessing of God comes from when we believe that we are blessed, we are delivered, and therefore our hearts long to show that appreciation for God. Amen. Amen. Yes. Failing to tithe is not about having enough money. It's about having a heart that loves to express covenant. Amen. Tithing is about believing you are blessed and that you have a Father who is a complete supply. Folks, these days are upon us. You don't want to be without the Abrahamic covenant. And I know people don't like it when I say that. Say, well, Pastor, that just seems threatening, or that seems doom and gloom or bad news. Folks, I am not saying that everything ahead. The Bible says that the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. But we know that this world, especially right now, is getting very, very dark. And there's going to be a lot of financial attacks on people's lives. It is not the time to be without the Abrahamic covenant. You're going to have to remind God in these end days. You're going to have to say, Father, I trust that you'll be faithful to Abraham. You'll be faithful to me as his seed. Father, I trust and believe that in these last days, that no matter how expensive things get, you will always be bigger. You will always be greater than anything and everything we face. We've got to know this. If you think that tithing is about following a rule, God was not looking for Abraham, the rule follower. He was looking for a heart that loved to obey God. And God chose Abraham for that purpose. All right? So number one, tithing was Abraham's idea. Tithing originated in the heart of a man who loved God. Two, tithing is an act of believing you are blessed and delivered. Now three, are you ready for three?
Yes.
All right, number three, the tithe strengthens the covenant bond. Tithing is a way that we strengthen our bond to the Heavenly Father in this covenant, all right? Now, like I said, tithing was not a rule or command for the covenant of Abraham. It was not a rule or command. All right, God didn't say, Abraham, here's the covenant, here are the rules, now get over here and follow the rules. He said, Abraham, here is the covenant, I will be a blessing to you, and then Abraham tithed as a result of that. Amen. So God decided to enter into a covenant with a man whose heart was already right about money. Amen. We try to get, you know, we think that God establishes something and then he says, come over here and follow the rules. But God is looking throughout this whole earth right now for people who are not greedy, who are not subject to money, who are not trying to listen to the voice of money. God is looking for those whose hearts are already right about it. Oh, praise the Lord. Tithing before God. I've been a tither since 2004. And I'll tell you what, it strengthens the covenant bond. That's why during tithes and offerings, we don't say it's the oh no part of service. It's the oh yeah part of service, right? Amen. Glory to God. Yes. God loves you just the way you are, but he cannot use us if we're violating covenant. He cannot use us if we're violating covenant. You know, if we say we're the children of Abraham, but we don't do what Abraham does, God will not trust us. Tithing is a matter of trust. How many of you know that God's got to earn your trust?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Meaning, you know, you have to show yourself trustworthy to your Heavenly Father. You know, and you're not trustworthy just because you were a tither for 2 weeks. But year after year after year, God will open the door and show you so many great things. God is trying to show us what's going to happen in the days ahead. He's trying to lead us and protect us. He's trying to give us direction and to show us. But so many of his people are violating covenant, God cannot move forward. You know, the statistics say about 92% of all Christians do not tithe. As a pastor, I have seen Well, on both sides, honestly. I've seen so many believers who will say, Pastor, I can't afford to tithe. I can't do that. If I do that, I won't have enough. I won't have enough. I won't have enough. That is the trap of the enemy. Because when you say that you can't afford it, you're telling God, I'm not blessed enough. A refusal to tithe is a denial of his blessing. God cannot bless someone who denies the blessing. The covenant blessing, tithing, is just an act of declaring, I'm blessed. It's an act of declaring that he's my provider in all things. He's my strength. He's my victory. I love him. Glory to God. Woo, praise the Lord. Don't you love him? I love him. Praise the Lord. You can just tell the world I'm in love with a man. I'll do something to wake you up here today. Glory to God. It's about trusting him, him trusting you. Glory to God. And then, you know, I wasn't planning on going there. Go over to Genesis chapter 18. Totally was not planning on going there. Just a few chapters later, go over to Genesis 18, 17. Look what the Lord said to Abraham, or he said about Abraham. I love this verse. He says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from my covenant, Abraham, the thing which I do? God says, I'm not going to hide this from my faithful covenant man who loves me, who demonstrates covenant. He's a tither from his heart, not out of law. Yeah. In verse 18, God says, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. God is not going to hide what he is doing from the seed of Abraham. Amen. Christians, Christ came to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant so God would have somebody to tell his secrets to.
That's good.
God came to fulfill, the Lord Jesus Christ came to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant so that the Lord would have somebody to tell and to show what's going to happen on this earth. That's exactly what Jesus was talking about in John 16, 13. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, the things of which he hears from the Father, that which he shall speak unto you, and he shall show you things to come. Folks, when I'm up here, you know, just giving warnings about the days and times that we live in, I'm not doing it to be dramatic. I'm not doing it to be controversial. I'm doing it to prepare those that that I'm, you know, entrusted with feeding you the word and so on. Folks, I know we could just have this traditional, simple, surface Christianity. But folks, I need you. God needs you to know who you are. God needs you to know and understand what this Abrahamic covenant is. Jesus' return is to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant. Our catching away, or what the Bible calls the rapture, is a promise to keep wrath and fury away from the seed of Abraham. Everything that God does is through the filter of this covenant. And you need to know that those that are of faith, they are the children of Abraham. Those that are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, right? Just like Melchizedek blessed Abraham and said, you are blessed and you are delivered from your enemies. You will need to develop a relationship with your Heavenly Father that you can boldly go before him and declare, Father, remember Abraham, your servant. I am his seed. I am the recipient of the blood of Jesus Christ. And in these last days, Father, you are faithful to be my Savior, my healer, my provider, and my protector. Lord, you see the darkness that may surround me on a daily basis, but Lord, you are a shield and a buckler to me. Lord, you surround me with your favor as a shield. Lord, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises in judgment against me, I shall condemn, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. But a lot of Christians, they don't know God or they don't know the word with any kind of depth. Folks, the world is going to discover a lack of knowledge. If there's disorder in our lives, if there's a lack of knowledge or a lack of study, I'm telling you, this world's gonna find it in us. And if you are caught without knowing this covenant, you're gonna have the worst thing that can happen to anybody on this earth happen to you. You know what that is? Fear. You're gonna get afraid. In God's eyes, being afraid is the worst place for any believer to be. Because fear is a place that God cannot reach. Do you understand that? And so praise the Lord. Say, Pastor, thank you for preparing us. Father, I am the child of Abraham. We need to know this for these days. Tithe out of a heart and a love for God. And if you don't tithe, the question isn't about what it's going to cost you financially. The question should be, why does my heart not want to do that? You know, tithing is not a money problem. Tithing's a heart problem. And we should ask ourselves, if we are non-tithers, why don't I? A lot of Christians, they say, why should I? Meaning, I'll do it if God promises me some huge return of money. Of course, the blessing of God does come. But we should ask ourselves as believers in our heart, if we resist it and we don't, especially after hearing a message like this, what is missing in our heart that we don't want to do that? I say this, and I've been criticized for it, and I'm going to say it again. And I'm not saying it for, you know, illustration purposes. If I had the last act on this earth, if I could choose what it would be for God, it would be to pay my tithe. I say, well, what are you talking about? You know, really? You just want, that would be your last act for God on this earth? That's cheap and shallow. No, it's not. No. If you know and understand what covenant means to God, if you have a covenant heart for God, amen, it would be very important to you. So tithing is not a money problem. Tithing is a heart problem. And when we say things, you know, like, oh, I can't afford it, I won't do that, or whatever, it's the devil's attack to steal your blessing. Because when we don't tithe, we're denying that we're blessed. Remember, Abraham was already blessed. You and I were blessed 2,000 years ago when that blood of Jesus was shed for us. That's where the blessing comes from. We were delivered from Satan 2,000 years ago when that blood was shed. So just like Abraham, we were already blessed. We were already delivered. But the question now is, do we have a heart to act upon it? Amen. Did you get something out of this here today? In this church, I have no idea who's a tither and who's not. I don't know that. I don't look in our financial records. I know a pastor has a complete right to do that. I personally, for these 17 years that I've been pastoring, I don't. I don't look at who gives what because I don't want to be moved by it. Because I refuse to be tempted to do more for somebody just because their number might be bigger than the next, when somebody with a smaller number actually might be way more faithful. I've seen people with no money say, Pastor, I can't afford to tithe. And over the years, I've had the privilege, you know, of knowing people from all walks of life. People that were lower middle class or maybe even impoverished to people in the middle class. I've known several millionaires. I've had people worth millions and millions of dollars, literally tell me, I can't bring a tithe to my church. If I did that, I would give the church $250,000 every month. Can't do that. Well, see, whether you're making $1 a week or $1 million a week, the tithe is a tithe. And that person who makes 10 bucks a week and brings their dollar versus the multimillionaire who could be giving $250,000 a year, you know, a month. Listen, that person with the least amount is more faithful. And so don't let money ever decide for you what to do, regardless of what level you're at. Amen? Amen. The Lord is our master. Money is not. I tithe because I love him. And remember, this is an illustration today where it should be for all things that we do for him. You know, we serve in the church because we love him, not because we're trying to get promoted up to something. You know, if you give to somebody, you know, personally, don't do it to get their approval. Do it because you love God and you want to help them and bless them, right? Whatever you do for the Lord, you have to do it out of sincerity. We are just using tithing as a connection to God's covenant. Amen. I want my heart connected to him. That's why we do it. Praise God. Let's